So just live to understand Dhamma. Otherwise, what's the use? Everything is gone each moment. No self, no one, no I. Just lobha and ignorance. So nothing to do at all. Just understanding, listening carefully. That's all. Because panya works its way. No one can perform the function of panya. So at moment of not understanding whatever appears, one realizes that it's moha, an attachment. Because it's now appearing, that which appears, can that appear to panya as no one, nothing at all? Only that which is seen, only that. And brings about idea and the world and life, so on.
Yes, nothing to do. Not even try to understand.
Even that. Because the self is there, motivates the moment of I. Even when one doesn't say I, it's I. But when that reality arises and falls away, how can there be the I? It's gone. And not only this life, not enough to understand it. Actually, that which appears is no one and nothing at all. This will gradually lead to higher understanding with right awareness of whatever is not object of understanding at all before. The way is patience, parami, and satya, the truth, and adidana. Adidana.
Thanachan Krap. What is adi?
Adidana.
Adidana.
Okay. People just think that adidana is that which would like to be given, like asking, praying respect. But actually it indicates a very firm understanding of the truth. Never be discouraged.
Very firm understanding of the truth. Mm-hmm. Adidana.
Adidana.
So it's a kind of panya.
No. Like Chetana, is it panya?
No.
See, so each reality is different. And when it's firm, it's panya, which all the ten must accompanied by panya. Otherwise, it cannot be adidana.
So it's like giving, but with panya.
The parami must be accompanied by panya.
Right.
If you give a lot, no understanding, it cannot be dana parami.
Right.
But since you know that if kusala does not arise, akusala has opportunity to arise.
Roti, atithana is not dana.
Oh, atithana, which is like
determination,
right?
So, Achan, what is the object of atithana?
Yes.
Understanding whatever appears now.
The object.
Yes.
So, the object is a reality?
Yes.
But not every time is that level. I can understand atithana as...
It's now adidana to understand.
That's what I don't understand. Because I can only understand atithana of something leading to now.
To be understood.
We have
whatever
the,
appears.
It's like it's almost like the intention. It's like the determination to understand. I think we have it right now. That's why we are here, no? We are determined to understand.
Here's the Pali definition of it.
So I was confused a moment ago there. Tan means to be established. Aditan means to be strongly committed.
Yeah.
And understanding. Tana.
This we get the word sthania to a place, to be established, to be strongly established in a commitment to truth with right understanding.
Like satipatthana, see, thana, the same word.
Oh, yes.
Thana, just the word dhana.
They established the place, station.
Without the object, right object for the development of satipatthana, can there be the understanding? Because that object is dhana, the place of the object which right understanding develops. For example, can we develop right understanding of a glass? No. But the reality which appears is the dana for sati, to experience it as a base for understanding, to develop.
So Ajahn said one cannot develop right understanding of a glass, right?
So this is a dana, the base for sati to develop.
Right.
But the whisper object now, with developing of no one at all, it's only that which appears at moment of seeing, that's all. That is the base for sati to develop on and on and on.
Right. Ajahn said no one to see, right?
Is there anyone now?
No, there's no one. So the development comes from the understanding that
right.
There's nobody seeing.
That's why the vipassana or satipatthana is the development of right understanding. From hearing, considering, understanding at level of pariyatti. If there is no pariyatti to know the truth, actually that which is seen is seen, only be seen, that's all. But ignorance is there. Experiences the shape and form, nimitta, and takes it for something permanent. Never arise and fall again. But actually, it has to arise. And when it arises by nimitta, Panya learns to understand it as a reality. Seeing not just one moment, many moments, the nimitta of seeing. And Panya begin to understand the nimitta of seeing as visible object. Before there can be the moment of experiencing the arising and falling away, higher vipassana jnana, there must be from now no one at all, only that which is seen. Just close your eyes, immediately nothing there. So when there is no seeing, no idea about that shape and form which is seen as something, people and things all around. But when there is moment of not experiencing, no seeing, nothing appears at all. Just close one's eyes, it's gone immediately.
Yes, Ajahn, just now you said close one's eyes, and my eyes were closed. And I started to have a little more understanding about what you often say about we live in the world of sanya. Because even when the close, there's thinking all the time, but no sanya of...
But there is sanya of...
Something else, which we're not familiar with, which we only sometimes experience. Yeah.
So
but otherwise, this is like... this is... We prefer to open because that's what we live in, and we want to open our eyes to open because we always open and mark and we like those objects, and now we want to experience them again and again and again. We don't like to close our eyes because we like to see, we like to think about that.
Without this level of understanding, there can never be the direct awareness of sanya as sanya and whisper object as whisper object only. So no one can say, oh, you have attained such and such level of understanding. Impossible. It's your own understanding with now. Where are you? Or is there anyone here? Or actually it's the moment of seeing, just experiencing visible object which now is seen. And there's the idea of so many things around. But that can that be the exact understanding of one at a time?
And when you were saying the glass is not object of understanding, I was thinking that the object of understanding is the characteristic. Means that the only that which rise and fall away, the characteristic of anything that rise and fall away, that only that can be the object of Panya.
Mm-hmm.
Something that does not rise and fall away cannot be the object of Panya.
Dukkha, Arya Satya. If you don't talk about it or understand the way it is, no understanding develops at all. And one realizes that just learning about reality is not enough to eliminate the idea of self. It has to be much clearer because now it arises and falls away. And if it's not experienced yet, no higher understanding to be higher vipassana jnana.
Excuse me, you said the something that arises and falls away cannot be the object of understanding?
Only something that rises and falls away can be, leaving out Nibbana for now, only something that rises and falls away can be the object of Panya. If Panya arises at that moment, if Panya arises at that moment, then it must have something that rises and falls away as object.
Yeah, so it must be.
Can this moment be directly experienced, the arising and falling away? Can? Yes.
That it can be slowly understood.
That is the understanding of the different levels of Dhamma, Pariyatti.
I thought I heard him say cannot, so.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that wouldn't be Vipassana Jnana if it's not directly experienced stage by stage. And Vipassana Jnana does not experience anything else but now as it is. Very natural. No one knows. Like whether the other person understands the level of understanding of this person. Impossible. But if it cannot be directly experienced, what the use of the Buddha's word, see, is useless. So, before that, there must be the moment of understanding satipatthana only when it arises. If it does not arise, it's just think about satipatthana, not the moment of having the object as object of sati, direct awareness.
Ajahn, why do you say that if it cannot be directly experienced, the words of the Buddha are useless?
For what for? Just talk? No one knows.
All the words of the Buddha point to what is real. And they are known as real only when there is direct experience. I mean, there can be intellectual appreciation between what's real and not real. But is that enough? Is that the goal? What then it's no use if there's only intellectual understanding. Then we keep talking about visible object is that which is seen, but not don't know visible object as visible object.
But I think that that understanding correctly can be beneficial also. Having right understanding, just intellectual right understanding can.
Yeah, you can.
Yes, but not if that does not lead to, if intellectual understanding would not lead to direct understanding, then even that intellectual understanding is what for? It cannot eradicate the ignorance. It cannot eradicate wrong view.
Because many people today have, you could say they have sort of correct understanding, but that's not truly being understood and therefore is not able to be applied to the present moment. You can have like, because we could say there are many different types, many different levels of correct understanding. You know, we know that many Abhidhamma scholars, they could have that kind of correct understanding, but they reach a different conclusion. They think that the teachings, you have to go to another place to apply them. For example, you know, that's one kind of misunderstanding. So if it's not the understanding that realizes that it's referring to the present moment and that present moment can be understood, has a characteristic that can be understood, and that is the function of wisdom to know wisdom, very very low in the beginning. There's a function of wisdom to understand that, and that can be known. So there are different levels of what we might call intellectual understanding. Some people reach different conclusions about that type of understanding that they have.
Actually, I wouldn't call that intellectual understanding. If it's intellectual understanding, then it's with right understanding at the intellectual level. That's pariyati. Just knowing the Abhidhamma, but not understanding that that it's all about now, that's not understanding.
Kunwati see that there are different levels of understanding, and some levels of understanding, as Sukun has pointed out, which I was alluding to anyway as part of the different levels, but I can see it can be confusing, and that's what I was trying to help you with, that there is understanding and there is understanding. Do you see what I'm trying to say? There are different types of understanding, if you like, and some of the understanding is not really helping people to understand the Buddha's teachings. Like in some of the, people in Burma there, for example, who are Abhidhamma scholars, but they give people the wrong understanding, even though they think they've got the right understanding.
So maybe we...
Yeah, but serious, but the intellectual understanding is a foundation on which to build, so that it helps to create the conditions, so that at some point, whenever the conditions are right... A direct understanding might occur.
So maybe we are talking about useless in the sense of having a realization, right? But not useless in the sense that just knowing very little about the Buddha's teaching can be helpful for some people, you know? Yeah. No, Achan, no?
We can't denigrate.
But what Achan is saying that if it remained that much, then it's no point. If that is the aim, is just to have intellectual understanding, then there's no use.
No, we're not saying that at all.
No, that's what Achan was saying, that if it stopped at only intellectual understanding, then it's useless.
But many people do not study carefully, respectfully, so they think that that's enough, or that's all. So they practice and they do what they think, and that is not right.
Correct pariyatti understanding either. Yeah. So that's
not enough. But they think that that's enough.
And they come to the opposite conclusion. Instead of saying that should continue listen and consider, they say stop reading, go practice.
No use to study.
Yes, because they're misguided by what they think is practice in terms of they think it's meditation. And that somehow or other, if they reach so-called fourth jhana, that they're going to have some understanding. But in fact, we know that if the conditions are right, and certainly one of the conditions is pariyatti understanding, to at some point, if the other conditions are there, there will be a direct understanding. And so a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, they don't... I think that's what we're saying. So we're not... Yeah. So nobody's saying that pariyatti understanding is no good. It is. It's a foundation on which to build. Because it helps... It's one of the things that helps create conditions for patipatti.
But actually, they don't understand pariyatti at all.
Right. They don't... Obviously, they don't... If they... That's true. If they did have correct... pariyatti understanding. That's why the Eightfold Path starts with right understanding. So there's correct foundation of understanding of the teachings. Then there will be conditions for patipatti to be developed.
Yeah,
but if there's no if the pariyatti is not correct, there won't be the conditions. So that's
in other words, the necessary condition for patipatti to arise is the correct pariyatti, right?
I mean, as often said, the three pariyatti, patipatti, and pativeda must conform. They must be pointing at the same truth. So if at the pariyati level there's no understanding that dhamma, the difference between dhamma and reality and concept, if there's no understanding of anatta, then there's no practice, right practice. So a person who agrees that the Buddha taught anatta but still has the idea of doing something means he does not understand.
Right. I was referring to something like a more simple example. Like, for example, somebody that hears that that life is conditioned and that wholesome or unwholesome actions will condition your next life. Just hearing that can be useful. That's what I mean. I was talking in that sense.
Not enough.
Not enough, but
not
it can
enough.
Still
enough,
can
but
be
still
useful.
So they go wrong.
Something to build on.
So they go wrong. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. And is that if they don't, if it's still with the idea of self, then they're going wrong for sure. It's already wrong if it's because Dhamma is not self. If you think that condition means condition of our life, talking about situation, then that's already wrong. And if you say think that I am here and who would after that will be reborn, that's already wrong.
Yeah. Now, I'll give you an example.
So what about if somebody hears something like a teaching, like if you kill a cow, you will go to heaven, for example?
What?
Yeah, kind of those kind of teachings. Or that there's no next life, or that, you know? I think
yeah,
that
so
can
no
be very harmful.
For them
okay.
To develop understanding.
Just don't talk about next life. This life. Do they understand? As not self.
But I mean that if somebody follows a kind of thinking that...
That is mentality for sure, but for the Buddhist, the person who thought that I studied enough, but actually...
Right.
Pariyanti doesn't mean just heard about the samchitta or jetasika. That's not enough.
Yeah, it's totally not enough. I agree.
Because
with that,
the teacher of Abhidhamma had Samnakpatibhat, meditation center.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is not pariyat.
Yes, correct.
I mean, the other day I was saying that one of the best things the Buddha pointed out was that karma is intention. Right? That made it very clear that it's a dhamma. But other religions which believe in karma, they don't know this. So it's still me. They think in terms of situations. Some will even go on like the Jains, for example, start sweeping the floor. Right, so you see the danger of the self. So when you say it's still useful, then you have to be very precise. It's useful only when panya arises to know that distinction between concept and reality. Otherwise, you can't say it's useful.
That's true.
And just have pariyati, is that enough? So the person who understands the truth knows that that is not enough. It's only the beginning.
Very deep, no? Ajahn,
yeah,
very
and
deep.
And they just think that only that is enough for them to develop, because Buddha said having viriya
right. To
understand reality. But he doesn't mean that only that is enough to do, to try, to have understanding of a higher level. So what's the use of teaching Abhidhamma? Just to be remembered, how many jittas and jetasikas. They do not talk about seeing right now that there is no one. Until then, it can appear as Dhamma and the higher understanding, letting go, no expectation to have sati arise and panya to develop. It takes time, the 10 parami. They don't think like that. They just want to have it at once, because they think that they have enough understanding. But it's not right, because enough of that understanding means more and more letting go, little by little, for sati, direct awareness can arise. If one just seeing that there are people and things here, impossible to experience the seeing as not self. So listening to the teachings never enough. Because now, see, many people, so that's not enough. No understanding, actually, there's no one, no thing at all. For them, just concentrate on whatever they'd like to, depending on sitting position or breath or what. No anatomist at all. So yes. It's I, not the Dhamma. Yes.
Yeah, this is a very good point too, the anatta. But also, some people think they have great understanding when they can memorize all this information. There are so many jetasikas, so many jitta, so many, that they can memorize the whole book word for word, exactly, perfectly. For instance, in Islam, they memorize the whole Quran and they think they're obtaining wisdom. Or they memorize all the...
Also in Burma, they memorize the whole Tipitaka.
They memorize the whole Tipitaka in Burma as well. And they think that that is understanding. So they have no understanding of concepts and reality. They have no... They don't really understand what anatta means. They don't understand the other characteristics of anicca and dukkha. They don't... they don't understand conditions. Let's not talk about what this amorphous they who do not understand. Let's talk about what we don't understand. It pretty much is the same thing. We don't have enough of an understanding of these things. And that's the path, is developing the understanding of those. And it's not easy. And we're always sidetracked all the time. I know I am all the time. I have to go to this thing. I have to go to that thing. I have to go to this ceremony, that ceremony, sidetracked all
but
the time.
But you think that daily activities are...
What?
Do you think that daily activities are sidetracking you?
It's not so much the daily activities themselves as is what is arising in the mind during all those daily activities. You know, what is arising in the mind?
Something else other than Paramattha Dhamma.
Right.
Something else other than
Paramattha. Other than Paramattha Dhammas arising in the mind.
Concepts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
to rise, you know, we do all this stuff in our daily activities, whatever it is, whether it's going to ceremonies or...
So you think that if you didn't do those things, then you will have more chance to understand?
It means that the conditions that arise to bring about thoughts of the Dhamma in the mind are not as prevalent, whether you're going to a ceremony or whether you're going and doing this or whether you're doing that. That's what it means.
Yeah, but isn't that the thought about Dhamma comes from understanding, first of all, that there is Dhamma everywhere. There's only Dhamma.
Yeah.
So it doesn't depend on the situation. It depends on the understanding. Is it firm?
Well, I know in my case, there's not enough thought arising.
So maybe it's because the understanding is not firm yet. I mean, for all of us.
That's probably
true. For all of us, it's the same.
So
no matter, no matter where.
No matter what, that's what I was saying. No matter what we do, you know, we work at a job, we work, do this, we do that. No matter what we do,
there's so much attachment so that you are attached in your situation, I'm attached in my situation.
Yeah.
And no understanding because we've accumulated too little understanding.
I think the point that Khunsu Khin has made is a good one, really, because if our understanding is not firm, then we're still going to have the idea that if I didn't do this, if I didn't do that, because our accumulations are going to take us wherever, you know, wherever we go. And so the more we can consider carefully what the Dhamma is about, then there will be more and more conditions for the Dhamma or following the Dhamma, to be firmer, and that it won't matter where we go, because we don't know anyway. Like, what are we going to do tomorrow? Yeah. Who knows? We could be anywhere or doing anything, and still there is Dhammas there. And this is what Ajahn, I think, says so important to appreciate this, that all Dhammas are anatta, no matter where we are. There's still no people.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same story. The story's the same everywhere. And the problem that I'm saying is that thoughts of correct understanding do not arise in the mind all the time. That's the thing.
And you're having a problem with that now, is because of I. Isn't that the root of the problem?
Yes.
I have not been having satyavadhana. I here. It's all I. Yeah. That's a problem. Rather than just understanding that there is only dhammas, no I.
Well, it's not. There's the conditions are not enough for the thought to arise.
But I don't think the external conditions, the internal conditions, are not enough.
Would there be more understanding of no self? Otherwise, I think, I see, I talk, or is I, like you just said before. But actually, when there will be the understanding, even at that moment, it's not I. At moment of seeing, now, thinking, talking, asking, see? The citta, the chetasikas, the rupa, and the five khandhas has to be directly aware.
What happens is, too, is that when you go through the course of a day and you're not thinking about Dhamma...
By conditions.
You know...
It's like you like to think about Dhamma, yeah, right?
I prefer.
See? I all the time.
That's right. Is what's so ingrained.
It's the habit of ignorance.
So pariyatti is never enough.
But at the same time, I find that, for example, this week that we've been getting together every day to discuss about Dhamma, it's been very beneficial to develop more pariyatti.
See, that is true, that without hearing the Dhamma, there cannot be understanding, right? That's the first time in any lifetime. Without hearing the Dhamma, there's not going to be any understanding. And we as being... with so much ignorance, need to actually hear again and again and again and again. So surely, this kind of situation, getting to hear the Dhamma and understanding little by little has to be useful than not hearing and not considering. But the danger is the I is always there, and then the I wants to have more Dhamma discussion. and then we can be reminded about the teaching of the Buddha when he said to someone who followed him everywhere, right? He also probably had this idea, I want to be with the Buddha, I want to hear him. But still the Buddha said to him, you see me only when you see the Dhamma. That shows that attachment is ready to arise all the time, even with respect to Dhamma. I think that's what people don't understand when they think that after hearing the Dhamma, they have the intention to have more understanding. That's why they go to meditate. They don't even understand what understanding is, but they don't see that it's just lopa.
They don't understand the anatta-ness of everything.
And they really think that, I'm having good intention.
I understand, yeah.
So that's why Ajahn says that one should understand anatta-ness since the very beginning.
All the way.
From the first day, right, Ajahn?
This, And because the habit of ignorance is always so strong, and even, you know, I'm thinking when people, even if they know about anatta, and we hear this, it's because they, you know, they say they understand anatta, but because ignorance is so strong,
ignorance and attachment is so strong
that the habit of ignorance keeps up the momentum of ignorance, even though they think, oh, I know what anatta is, but that's just ignorance. It's not any understanding,
I mean,
really.
Ignorance actually just does not see. It covers up everything. It's the low part that is leading the way all the time. And then if there's wrong view on top of that, that mistakes what is wrong for right, good, bad for good, then it's even worse.
Yeah, the thing is that it's, as he says, we have very deep ignorance, and then understanding anatta is very difficult. So either we have very, very strong accumulations, or we need somebody who has already understood that to explain it to us.
That's why the understanding of anatta-ness has to be all the way from hearing, considering, listening. Yeah.
But you see, there are people who also listen to Achan, and after 20 years they still don't understand.
So maybe you need two things: to listen to Achan and to have the accumulations.
Yes. Yes.
Not to me at all.
To listen through the
words
of the Buddha.
Words of the Buddha, yeah.
Otherwise, anatta will still remain a concept. It's a concept that represents reality, but still a concept. If the reality of anatta is not appreciated and understood, you'll stay at that level of it's a concept, it's an idea. And and there is not the understanding that word, anatta, represents a reality. So it's important to learn to understand what that reality is. Do you see what I'm...
Yeah, if your understanding of anatta is not clear, then you will start doing things which completely contradict that. For example, trying to understand, that's already
atta. Because one heard the word anatta and just repeat anatta, anatta, but the understanding does not agree with what appears at all. Like this is what? No understanding of anatta, but we used to say anatta, anatta.
Actually, it would seem that someone who does not understand anatta cannot understand anicca also.
Mm-hmm. Cannot understand anything as it is.
My wife keeps telling my son that he should start paying some attention to Sikhism, and one day, similar to what Betty has experienced with her husband, she looks at my outward behavior and she thinks, oh, what do you learn? She wants to go and meet Achan Suchin and say, what do you teach my husband? You know, he's like this, behaving like this, behaving like that. So one day I told her, I'm a Buddhist, that's why I have to graduate to become a Sikh, you know, and then only I'll be like, what do you think? You know, being sarcastic to her. But she really meant there, Sikh is better, higher.
Sikhs are better than higher.
It sounds like mana to me.
No, but it's just attachment. Yeah. Every religion,
Muslim is
same.
Every religion,
yeah.
Still mana.
Mana has to be there, even with us.
Yeah.
What about we do not use the word Buddhist at all, but there can be understanding of whatever appears.
Yes, I mean it's the best.
A good example. You are a good example of that, right? that even though we could say you're a Sikh outwardly,
but there's still people would think I'm now a Buddhist, right? And when I talk to someone, they'll think I'm coming from the Buddha's teachings. But Achan is saying that sometimes we don't have to say, because reality is without words anyway. What we understand amongst us who have heard the Buddha's teaching, we know that no one else but the Buddha could have taught. So we pay respect to him, right? But when we converse with other people, try to share, we don't have to use the word that we are coming from the Buddha's teachings. We can just talk about reality.
So now you know who's Buddhist and who is not. Even the Thai, the whole country, they thought that they are Buddhist, but actually no understanding of Buddhist at all. So how could they say, I'm a Buddhist, while not understanding the words of the Buddha at all? So it's just like the sign, label.
Mm-hmm.
Void of that means it does not have any of those characteristics in it. It is pure mentality. Or you could say the rupa also, the materiality is void of mentality, is void of seeing also. You could say the same thing.
I think you're confused with the word.
Yeah. Yeah. If I say, right now I feel very sad. I'm void of happiness. I can say that. That's a way, an English way of.
Okay, if we don't mind about the word. There is seeing right now. It's seeing sound. It's seeing whisper object.
Yes.
That's the meaning. Seeing cannot be sound or whisper object or anything, because it experiences only that which appears now. That's all. No matter use what word.
This might be also an example of trying to understand one word at a time. I think in fairness to Nina, well, let's read this here where it says, the mental and material are twins and each support the other. When one breaks up, they both break up through interconditionality. And just as when sound occurs, having as its support a drum that is beaten by the stick, then the drum is one, and the sound is the other. The drum and the sound are not mixed up together. The drum is void of the sound, and the sound is void of the drum. So too, when mentality occurs, having as its support the materiality called the physical base, the door and the object, then the materiality is one, and the mentality is another. The mentality and the materiality are not mixed up together. The mentality is void of the materiality, and the materiality is void of the mentality. Yet the mentality occurs due to the materiality, and this as the sound occurs due to the drum. So, as we have talked about there, the word void has different meanings and different contexts. And so it's a good example of what Ajahn was talking about earlier on. Do one word at a time and understand that in its proper context.
Then there was one more line. I have not read the book Vishuddhi Magga right now. I have not been through also. We read in the Vishuddhi Magga that the five khandas, conditional, nama and rupa, are as a disease because of having to be maintained by conditions and because of being the root of disease.
If we just think about the words, not the truth, see, what can we understand better? See, for example, seeing, we don't have to use or follow the words, but seeing is now. See, just understand the truth of it. No matter in what term you use for it, but the distinction between the two is that which experience, which means sees, to know what the object is. Mm-hmm. And the object or the reality, which is real, it's there, but it cannot experience anything. That's all. It's different one. The rupa cannot experience. For example, sound. Can it hear anything? The sound. And the hearing. Cannot it hear just the sound? See? Only that. And now, otherwise it will lead us to many, many words, many stories about this and that. But the words that lead one to understand whatever appears here. You can see that seeing is different from that which is seen, and hearing is not sound at all. That's the point. And it's now.
We all have some background in science, and after we hear the Dhamma, we at some point realize that we have to completely put aside our knowledge in science. And now I'm thinking about Akhil's question, and particularly he is interested in the word void. It just reminds me we have to think, we have to put aside a lot of other words also, which we have accumulated and made, especially those which we have made association with Dhamma. We have to put everything aside and try to understand. And Acharya is not just throwing words at us, just her intention is to make us understand what appears right now. Not for you to accumulate more words, but to understand the reality.
Right now.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Void is a common Mahayana concept which they like to use, and they have a totally different understanding of. So if we come with someone with Mahayana, he's thinking a lot about void. He wants to understand void, so he asks questions which in the end not relevant, right? Because he has so many ideas. So not only Mahayana, even someone who does not read Mahayana but read only the Theravada text, he'll also have questions like this, the Paticca Samuppada, and he'll be interested, but in the end, it's the understand only one at a time, and sees the important only understanding one at a time. And so all those questions which we have from before and which do not point to any interest in understanding one reality, but just want to hear more words. It's just more and more and more and more. There's no end to it.
And I think that the best way is put it on your own words, your own understanding, after you read many, many books, no matter from whom. What about your understanding?
Achan, so in the end, it's only Pandya can understand. Avicca cannot understand. Lopa cannot understand. Only Pandya can. Self is impossible for self to understand.
Ma'am, I want to know about...
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, about now. Everything are here.
Everything is here, ma'am.
So you want to know
here?
Okay. It's about...
Should I speak?
Yeah.
What do you want to hear? You want to hear or not? Should I speak?
Everyone wants to speak.
Sir, I want to listen only.
To understand what? It depends. To understand what? When you speak or anyone speak, to understand what?
What do you want to understand?
No.
I didn't. When you say you want to hear, what for?
To understand.
What?
What?
To understand what? See, even to understand is not a point. To understand what? But we know when we read Tipitaka and understand the teachings of the Buddha, to understand what it's now. And all his teachings, no matter about Ariyasatta or anything, it's now. Otherwise, we don't understand. Like the Four Noble Truths, the First Truth, Dukkha. See, it's now at this moment. We don't have to look many books to know what is Dukkha, but it's here for sure, which is the absolute or the reality, Ariyasatta. not understand anything which is not here and now.
You have to understand now, this moment.
Right. That is the teachings of the Buddha. Without this moment, there is no life. See? So what you take and explain and think about life is different from the words of the Buddha, who know exactly from experiencing, discern the truth, penetrate, realize it has to be such what he taught about it. Not the other's words. No matter void by that person or this and that from the thinking and thought of the others. Just thinking. But this is the truth, the absolute truth. You understand more, you learn more that it is no self. It cannot be changed. It just arises by conditions and then fall away, never to return. Is that true? So we ignore the other's words. But to understand better and better about what is now.
It seems that if it's not one word, one reality at a time, it's so easily be trapped.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately then.
Just one, the other thing else besides now.
Just now, understanding this moment now.
Uh-huh.
Other else is totally...
Yeah. So what's your question?
Ma'am, I got the understanding. This has to be understood now.
So I can have a question for you.
Mm. Please, sir.
So when you conclude that understanding only now, so why don't you just close your eyes and meditate and try to understand now?
Sir, I can understand now by opening my eyes also.
Right.
You don't need to close your eyes to understand.
Oh, okay. So concentrate on now.
Balance.
So try to understand now. Can you do that?
Talking more about this moment. Talking more. Discussing more.
No, what I'm saying is that is the idea of, okay, we came to conclusion that there is what can be understood is only what appears now. And then, but because there's very little understanding, there's the idea of, oh, trying to understand now.
No.
Right?
Appears now, I understand now.
Huh? No, can you understand now? Can you make understanding arise?
Can you create an understanding?
Can you make understanding arise now to know now?
This is very difficult.
Because it's not possible.
It's very difficult. How can, sir, at a two time a single work can be done?
Because, yeah, that's right.
How? Two works at a single time, it can't be done.
Yeah, right.
You have to do one work at a moment.
But can you do anything?
I can, at that
even moment, one thing.
I can, particular moment, I can think over one thing. A particular.
Can you?
At that particular moment, sir.
Can you do? Is this you're doing?
No, this is I'm speaking.
Is this something that you control?
No.
Right?
No. You might be level, reach that kind of a sotapanna. I'm not. I'm not.
No, no, really. Intellectually.
The confidence is good. It should be there.
No, no, intellectually. He's asking you just your intellectual understanding. He's not expecting you to have direct understanding. And enlightened. Just intellectually, why not?
Sir, why not the understanding at this moment? The main question is that.
The more there is understanding, one can understand the difference between Prayati and Patipati and Pativeda. Otherwise, one mistakes that for the other. One thinks now, I understand, but actually always I, as long as it is theoretical understanding, Prayati. And the more listen to the teachings of the Buddha, it conditions more but very little understanding at a time of what appears. And this is the point. Not just be scholar in the teachings literally, but to understand, for example, that reality which arises and experiences an object is anatta, no one. From the very beginning, seeing is conditioned, falls away completely. How can that be I? But from hearing and hearing and hearing, there can be more confidence in no self at all until the moment of realization of the Noble Path. It appears no one at all, only that characteristic which arises. So in the beginning it's not understanding the conditions for that which arises, but to know the distinction between that which experience and that which cannot experience. Even they are not experienced like sound, cannot be experienced like seeing now, but it's a reality. And how come to condition it to arise, even who hears it or not, whenever there are conditions for its arising, it arises, no matter who hears or not. So it all depends on conditions. From hearing more and more, it can just eliminate a little attachment to the self. Because from life to life, many lives long ago, it's there all the time, even right now. So right understanding begins its function by understanding reality as reality, no one, no self at all. That's why no matter many books talk about different ideas, but can it condition right understanding of whatever appears now?
No matter.
So it's useless. Because just think about understanding other things, but what about now? It's gone, never to return. Don't cling to it. But since there's no direct understanding of the arising and falling away, one takes it for self, for me, from life to life. That's why it has to be no one, no self, only impermanent realities all the time. We're seeing just a moment ago, it's gone completely without any understanding. And it's this moment as well.
And okay, wouldn't you consider this hearing a chant point these out to us are the most precious moments, not in this life, in many, 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 many lives. Yes. There's nothing better than this. Give me Bill Gates' money in multiplied by 10, I won't replace it.
Impossible. These words, I know, sir, how much their value is there. It's unvaluable. Money even can't, anything, not money.
So one knows that just hearing and begin to understanding is not enough, never enough, because there are three levels of understanding. Pariyatti is only pariyatti. I know as long as seeing does not appear as different from visible objects. Sound is sound, hearing is not sound. It hears, but sound cannot hear. The characteristic of nama, the reality which experiences, disclosed when panya is there. So now it's not that level yet, until more and more confidence on anatta. As long as it hasn't arisen yet, there must be always I, deeply rooted. I understand now. I begin to know the difference from hearing that it's not I, but it's only that which is conditioned to arise to experience. And usually in a day, we always attend to that which appears, but not that which experiences. Right now.
Yes, ma'am.
Anytime.
I was just thinking, if it's in different, in relation to different subjects, other things, it's a totally different reaction we have when we realize in the moment how ignorant we are. It's really very nice, right? It's a peaceful moment. But if somebody told us, our teacher told us, oh, you're a dumb student, oh, we will feel very bad, right? But when you realize your own ignorance, that's understanding, isn't it?
So, can you do anything? Not at all.
There are realities all the time.
Why?
All the time. There's no I. And there are conditions. Where is I? He's nowhere.
So it's not one lifetime to realize the truth. But it has to have the beginning, listening carefully and study, whether it's right or wrong, true or not. So, would you like to hear more about the scientific world or just now? Yeah?
No. Like, ma'am, some of the words which are already there on the, I've read before on the text, like Indriya.
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 What is it?
Indriya. Previously it was few.
See, if you don't know what is it, we just start along without any understanding. Is Viriya Rupa?
No.
Is it Chitta?
No.
So what is it?
Viriya, na?
Yeah. What is Viriya?
It's energy.
Chetasika. Is it wholesome, kusala, or unwholesome? See, this is good to think about, to be your own understanding. But without the words of the Buddha, no one knows. Because it's not the realization of each moment. So many people just come to listen with the idea of self. They try so hard. And that is viriya, to wanting to know. But some knows that it's not me at all. One just live in many lives all the time without understanding what is now. Even we say that viriya, but we don't know what it is. It's I all the time. But actually it is chetasika, which can arise with kusala or akusala. But if you don't know, you think that what I'm doing is kusala viriya. But actually the I is there, just coming for me to understand. Not just nothing at all. Everything is conditioned, arising and falling away. How can there be more and more understanding of the no self, no me? That person begins with the understanding correctly. I listen not just for me, but to understand better that there is no I. Nothing can be taken. So each word is studied by the right understanding of no self, no matter seeing, hearing, thinking, whatever. So that person can have more understanding better than the person who try very much with the idea of self. I'd like to know so that I would know, something like that, just for the sake of me. Not understanding enough to know that it's not me, it's not anything or anyone at all. It's just that which is conditioned to arise. And now many things has arisen unknowingly. So we know that what can be known in daily life is only seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching and thinking. There is viriya now, it's unknown. Because it is the dhana, or the base for right understanding to develop, to see that it's not self. So we need to hear more to know what is what, and see whether that moment of having viriya is kusala or akusala. If it's not for the sake of understanding of the anatta-ness, then it's for the self. Much more when we understand deeper and deeper It's not like just there is seeing, I know that seeing is seeing, that is not enough. That's why we learn about cetasikas, yeah. What is it? What is it? What is it? To know that it's not self. And know more, hearing more, consider more, understanding more and more. Until another level of right understanding, the patipatti arises. By then, it's the difference between the sati at moment of understanding from hearing, but it conditions another direct awareness of that which is known at level of pariyatti.
Even that is not enough.
Never. So what is born? Come back to just simple words.
I mean, yeah. Actually, you answered earlier that there's only realities, right? Or something to the effect. And without hearing the Dhamma, we wouldn't know this. We still think of, I was born, you know, there's this world, there are people, there are things. So now we can begin to understand and give the correct answer when Acharya says, what is born? Reality. What kind of reality? Consciousness.
Birth consciousness.
In order to have more confidence on no self, there are only the absolute realities. Citta, cetasika, rupa, and nibbana. It's gone, everything. Just a moment ago, gone completely.
And this is all. All in this only.
The Buddha said something to the effect that everything that can be known is in this body. The whole world, the whole universe is here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is sitting right now.
No sitting.
Is the body right now?
But there is something.
There is something.
Something, I mean, there's no body, but there is some reality all the time.
Actually, is there body? Is there a glass exactly the same? Is there a table exactly the same? Without hardness, can there be body, table and thing? See? Very, very minute, very tiny, and spaces in between. The kalapa group of rupa arise and fall away all the time. So we think that there is table here, but actually none. Because the rapidity of the arising and falling away of the group of reality, what is left to be seen is nimitta, shape and form. Without nimitta, they cannot be seen. So is there sitting, is there body? Everything just arises and falls away in split second. Each one, not the whole, like table falls away. It's impossible. Only the realities, which is conditioned by its proper conditions. Is this conditioned by karma?
No.
Yeah? How do you know? Because that rupa, which is conditioned by karma, must be the living rupa. But not permanent. Like the eye base is different from the doll's eyes.
Living rupa.
We said living being.
Living being.
Living being, the rupas, only in a living being can there be rupas conditioned by karma. In the microphone, there cannot be a rupa conditioned by karma.
Sir, before that she was talking about the object, the table.
No, she was saying, is there any...
No, she asked me a question. Are you sitting?
Mm-hmm. Are you?
This conversation... Ma'am, my question is that...
Is there you? If there is no you, so is there sitting?
No, not at all. My confusion is that if you are seeing from the eye sense,
can we say seeing sees?
Seeing. So outwards and inwards.
Seeing inwards?
No. I'm talking about, like, for you, for someone, this is not me. I'm not sitting. I'm not sitting. Lekin a person...
I'm not sitting and what?
Like, are you sitting or not?
It's all different rupas.
Hmm.
So, for you, what's seen is just visible object, right?
Exactly, sir.
Looking at me, right? And for me, there's visible object also. There's hardness, softness also.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
And at different sensations to the body. Right? So, it's different realities. You cannot experience the hardness which I'm experiencing.
Yes, sir.
Right? You cannot, but still, that hardness... that body sense is still one chitta, experiencing one rupa.
Okay. It will be same.
Same.
Okay, ma'am, I got it.